Welcome, everybody, to the Comic Shoot. Today, I am joined by Derek, our regular
Hello.
On the show, as well as a special guest from allcomic.com, Mr. Joey Caswell.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hopefully, I said his last name right, because everybody knows that I can't say anybody's last name right to save my life. We're going to start right in with thanking everybody for listening to the Comic Shoot. Derek and I literally thought we would get about five people to listen to the show. Two of them probably are mamas. And the rest of them maybe some comic, some all comic people. Currently, according to our stats, I guess we're sitting at almost 900 downloads with 610 unique downloads. So that is absolutely insane. I have no idea how to thank you guys enough. I hope you guys tune in for the third show and the fourth show and the 10,000th show and et cetera, et cetera. We're amazed. Derek, how amazed are you?
I'm just humbled by the whole, by the whole experience. And, I've been getting a lot of good feedback on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, just, keep them coming. And if you have any, questions or if you want us to talk about something in a future episode, you know, shoot us a message on Twitter or Facebook and, you know, we'll definitely, talk about it.
Yeah. We're both very active, on the old Twitters, not so much Facebook for me, but more for Derek. You guys want us to talk about Captain America or the Stilt Man or whatever. Maybe we'll get to it. Maybe we'll talk about it. We'll touch on it. Send us questions, allcomic@outlook.com. And, you know, we'll read them and decide if they're worth answering. So I guess this is the big show. This is the first show with three guys. This is the big one here. This is the Grant Morrison Batman show. We are dedicating it 100% to Grant Morrison's Batman. The Bat Saga, there we go. In recent weeks, Derek and Joey have been very adamant that I read Grant Morrison's Batman. To be honest, I personally was not a fan necessarily, but I also didn't hate it. I was unaware. I tried reading the New 52 Batman Inc. I didn't understand it for obvious reasons that we'll touch on. And have recently gone back and read almost all of it. I haven't gotten to the end of it. I know what happens. So we're just going to wing it and I'll pretend I know what they're talking about.
Sure.
So first up, a little trade we'll call Batman and Son. Apparently the trade was released in 2007. I think we just start from the top, boys. You guys are the two experts and the two Morrison crazy guys. I'm just the young Padawan right now, so why don't you two take it away?
Okay. I just want to just say real quick that I'm not a tradey guy. I'm a single issue guy. So when you guys are talking about the trades and whatnot, I may be a little lost, but I read all of it.
Okay. Yeah, you'll get the gist of it anyways. For, you know, arcs and such.
For your single issued view on comics, it is
yes.
Batman 655 to 658, as well as 663, 664, 665, and 666. Good sir.
Yes, all right.
I'd like to shout out
now we're in business.
To Wikipedia for giving me that info, otherwise I'd have no idea.
Awesome.
So, Batman and Son, where it all begins. The Grant Morrison saga begins with, you know, I don't even know how to begin. How do you begin this, guys? How do you tell somebody? How do you tell somebody about this?
That's a tough call. You know, I don't really read a lot of superhero stuff, and the only Batman stuff I've ever read the full way through is actually Grant Morrison and Frank Miller.
Whoa.
But the cool thing that Grant Morrison does is he goes back through all of Batman's history from the 30s right up till now, and he takes all of the weird, strange little bits that, you know, people were ashamed of and never resurrected before, and he puts everything into continuity and makes it make sense. So I think that's the big draw for Grant Morrison's Bat Saga for me.
Derek, do you have something to add to that one? I heard you say "whoa" when he said that's all the only Batman he's read.
Oh well, that's just because I've you know me, I'm you know, I'm a superhero guy, so I just have piles and piles and
oodles.
Piles.
Oodles is the perfect word.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, just piles and piles of Batman, like going. Yeah, I mean, just everything from, you know, every era, but yeah. You know, as far as Batman and Son goes, it is kind of hard to, you know, to pinpoint certain things. I did enjoy, you know, the way it started out, you know, and the whole, you know, Man-Bat stuff, that, you know, as a fan of Man-Bat, I actually you know, really enjoyed that because Man Bat hadn't been used very well, like over the, you know, past, like, you know, several years up to that point. So, yeah.
it's not as deep as the other books, but it's a necessary introduction, right?
Yeah, yeah, it definitely was a fantastic introduction to, you know, Morrison's Batman world, and this is where we first get Damian
and Jezebel Jetts.
Yes,
which is, you know, big part in Batman and Son through to R.I.P. Right, so
and even a little bit on Beyond.
Yeah, that's true. So it's the necessary introduction. It doesn't have the depth, but it's a good action book too. Like, there's a lot of action in it. It's still a fun read.
You know what? When I read Batman and Son, after I initially, I found that one right away. It was one of the first reprints with the new stupid sticker logo that DC's doing. Oh, yeah. And after reading it and not knowing so much about the Morrison, and I mean, I understood where Batman Inc. was going in the New 52. But like I said, I read some of it. I read, you know, issue number 8 where Damian dies. Spoilers. And I read.
Nobody knows that happens yet.
I know it wasn't everywhere for 4 weeks, before and after. So you know, it was interesting, kind of going back and seeing where he started. His starting point was. I agree. It's a good action. It's just a good hook, really.
Yeah,
a lot of the stuff will continue to play throughout the saga, we'll call it. But for the most part, you're just kind of like, hey, you know what? This is just a really good Batman trade with good action and. Just it's good Batman, you know.
Yeah, but like you said, there are those hints that he drops. I think on the first page of that book, you can see Zur-En-Arr written on the walls. No.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
So yeah, he's dropping hints right at the beginning.
Yeah, and that's something that you kind of notice throughout the whole saga of Morrison is he really likes to, like you said, pull from the old stuff, which is great to see, and he also likes to make sure that something like the Zur-En-Arr Batman plays throughout. You know, like he. He's not like, this happened one time, and then that's the last you ever hear of it, you know, and
yes.
until he maybe needs to use it at the end, and he kind of like twists it in a stupid way just to make his story finish or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Everything plays a pivotal role as you go.
Yo, can I also give a shout-out to the covers for Batman and Son? I just really, really enjoyed the covers for the entire, you know...
Was that Andy Kubert that did the whole?
Which is funny because I'm usually not a huge fan of him, but I just really enjoyed those covers. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, the cover gallery is definitely good for sure.
If I can jump way ahead, his artwork in Damian, Son of Batman, probably the best I've seen from him. Continue.
Oh yeah, see, there's something I haven't read that at all.
Yeah, some of it. Yeah, there's a few like splash pages in that story that are really kind of breathtaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he also doing that Wolverine Origins too?
Andy
Kubert that's doing that or the other guy?
You know what? Now I can't remember. Yeah. I bought that too.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We'll skip it. That was just random fleeting thought. Okay, so. You know, somebody wants to get into Grant Morrison. Obviously, you start at the beginning. You start at Batman and Son. You read the Batman and Son. You finish it. You're kind of like, you know, I want more. This is my exact thought is I want more. According to Wikipedia, the next progression should be the resurrection of Ra's al Ghul. I didn't read it.
Neither did I.
Or Ra's, Ra's, however they want to say.
Ra's al Ghul. Yeah, it's Arabic.
I skipped it. I couldn't find it either, so I just kind of went on. It's the lead-in is into the Black Glove, which is pivotal. But Derek, you read it, as far as I remember.
Yes, yes,
You're obviously more single. It's 670 and 671 with Tony Daniel on art. How important or not important would it be to somebody trying to jump into this?
It's not necessarily entirely important, but there's just those little. There's little moments I think that are important. It's kind of like the first time, like we get, you know, the first time we see Damian actually get a little bit of like some character progression. And we get, you know, definitely some interesting, you know, parts of Ra's al Ghul, like in his part in the story. And it's just, you know, just b- basically fleshes things out a little more, I would say.
But if you can't find it, it's not something you'll live or die by.
Probably not. No.
I mean, like, Joey skipped it and I skipped it, and I don't feel like I have a whole hole missing. Like, well, what about Ra's al Ghul?
You know, yeah, I don't feel like I missed anything.
No, you didn't necessarily miss like a whole lot. Just a few like nice moments, especially at the end when they're all, you know, flying back, where it's Batman and Alfred and Tim Drake and Dick, and they all just have like this kind of like odd, tender, you know, moment that may be, you know, slightly homoerotic, but it was still nice.
Excellent.
Well, that's something I needed to hear. I'm glad I asked you.
Hold on a sec, Tyler. A big part of me wanting to talk about this is Derek read it long before I did. You just read it, so I'm really interested in your opinion of it, having just read through it for the first time. So what did you think of Batman number 666? I think it was the final issue in Batman and Son, where it's the first issue that focuses on Damian as future Batman.
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a cool look. It kind of gives you more of a glimpse into how Damian really looks up to Bruce, more than you kind of get the feeling of at the beginning, like when they first meet and stuff. He's almost just like this little punk kid that, you know,
yes,
he's better than everybody. But when you see it in 666, you can really see that, you know, Damian wants to live up to the name Batman. He wants to live up to the legend, I guess.
Yeah.
And even though his methods might not be the same, you know, he's kind of doing his own way. It's still an interesting leap forward before, you know, he pulls everybody back and he continues in his regular story. It's more like a, hey, you know what, this might happen at the end. This is Damian. This is the kind of man that he becomes.
Yes.
So it was really cool. After reading 666, I wanted to read the new Damian, Son of Batman or whatever.
Yeah.
I figured I'd just trade weight it and wait till the end.
There's another future Damian as Batman issue in Batman Incorporated too.
Yeah, there is one where he's got the... I haven't gotten there yet, but I think it's in the first trade.
I don't mean to jump ahead. I was just curious what you thought about that one. Continue.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. Like I said, we've all read it at separate times. I'm the freshest one, and then you, and then Derek, so...
Yeah.
It was just a cool look to look ahead, really.
Yeah.
Derek?
No, I was just going to say that, you know, have read this stuff a long time ago, and I knew we were going to talk about this, and so I sort of just kind of, you know, read some things here and sparingly here and there, but it's kind of nice to go back to it and, you know, think about it again. And the more you think about it, you know, like I guess I just completely forgot, you know, how good some of these early Morrison issues are.
Well, it's one of those things that even me reading it once, I can already tell, like, you know, you read something, you're like, man, I'm going to read this again. Like, you know you're going to read it again because it's that good.
Yeah, I just finished rereading it right before you started it, Tyler.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's how it stands, you know, stands up with the test of time. And, you know, Batman writers out there, as much a lot of people are very love-hate, like, they either fucking love Grant Morrison or it's like, that guy's a fucking asshole and I never want to read his shit again. You know, like, it's funny how polarizing everybody is. There's very few that are like, oh yeah, I like this, but I thought his Action Comics sucked. But I like Batman. Like, there's not a lot of in between guys.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of his stuff sort of has the same kind of tone. You know, he draws a lot of autobiographical stuff and his weird mystical experiences and everything. So it's kind of got a similar tone.
Yeah. But speaking of crazy and weird and possibly my favorite, the Black Glove. We'll talk about.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what is that? When does that
the Black Glove trade apparently officially starts at 667 to 669 with J.H. Williams?
Yes. Yes.
The Island of Mr. Mayhew, where you got your first look at the future, spoiler alert again, Batman Inc., for lack of a better term.
Yeah. That was a fun arc.
662 to 674 with Tony Daniel as well.
Yeah, 667 is when my first... you know, set my eyes on Man of Bats.
I saw that coming, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, Man of Bats. And I was just reading I read the Batman Inc. trade with Yannick the Cat and those guys, obviously before the New 52 stuff. And they were kind of saying the history of Man of Bats, and they were saying he was originally introduced in like 1959.
Yes.
And a bunch of them are old school.
Yeah, like, it's just so crazy that Grant Morrison's like, I'm going to take this guy, and I'm going to take this guy. And yeah, they're still around. You know, it's just interesting.
That's what I mean. Like, he takes all of the weird, obscure old shit that people were ashamed of or just forgot, and he makes it make sense. You know, it's just these people that were influenced by Batman and decided to do the own, you know, do the same thing in their own community.
Yeah, I haven't read much Golden Age Batman, so I wasn't even aware of him at the time.
Yeah, well, I can honestly say I think the oldest I've read, I mean, I read Detective 27 because it was on Comixology for free.
Oh, awesome.
And but other than that, I think that, like, this might be some of the oldest Batman. I mean, I guess, well, that's not true. I guess Frank Miller stuff is the oldest Batman maybe I've gone, as far as I've gone back, which obviously isn't that old. Year one and all that stuff, right?
There's a lot of good Silver Age Batman, for sure. It gets pretty nutso.
Pretty nutso.
But
what's that?
I was gonna say, what do you guys think of the? Let's talk about the first chapter. We're there's so much stuff to talk about.
Oh yeah, sure. Sorry.
We're getting offshoots of everything here. I mean, first and foremost,
it's hard not to do when you're talking Grant Batman.
Well, that's true.
You got to do some drugs and talk about Batman. It's no problem. You know, the J.H. Williams, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the best artists in any generation.
Agreed.
He kills it here. Him and Morrison. You know, I would have loved to see him do more issues. I think, you know, even if he would have done the whole Black Glove trade, I think that would have been good. I like Tony Daniel well enough, but you can't compare Tony Daniel to J.H. Williams.
J.H. brings something that's really different compared to most of the Batman stuff.
Yeah.
It looks a lot more painted with more interesting panel layouts and stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing he's always seemed to strive for is, you know, the different layout. It's not just, here's six blocks on a page and we're going to draw some stuff inside.
Yeah, well, he did the artwork in, I'm going to get off on a tangent here, so I'll bring myself back quick. But he did all the artwork for Alan Moore's Promethea, and just the artwork alone, I mean, that'll change what you think is possible with a comic book.
Yeah, I still got to read all that stuff.
So, yeah, J.H., awesome. It was cool to see him doing Batman, and I agree, it would have been nice to see a few more issues, but...
I think when you guys initially told me to read this one, I believe it was Derek that said something along the lines of Grant Morrison absolutely, like, fucks up Batman or something along those lines, just from the Black Glove alone.
Yes, that's what he said.
You want to elaborate on that one, Derek?
Yeah, he just completely just destroys him in a way that I don't think anybody had to that point, or maybe equal, but maybe not like that. Like he just, you know, not just on a physical level, but like on a pure emotional level, just,
yes, exactly.
Got to the very core of who he was as a person, and just went from there, just tearing him apart. And basically he went insane, and, you know, going insane is always good, because then you get Batmite, but
which was awesome.
Yeah, which is great.
But
I was waiting for you.
I'm, you know, that was pretty much all I was gonna say about it. It's just it was nice to see you know, somebody, you know, attack Batman in the manner that he did, and use little things from the past and use them against him.
That was the biggest part, you know. I don't know. I thought it was crazy that, you know, shit, this is happening in a Batman comic book, that somebody's being this ruthless and malicious, you know, just tearing his parents' reputations through the mud and everything.
Yes.
Like, yeah. who else did that, right?
That was a new angle for me, anyway.
I mean,
most of the time, it's like, you know, yeah, Batman's a thug and he's a vigilante and screw Batman. You know, same shit that Spider-Man always gets, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
But this time it's like, oh yeah, his parents were selling drugs and they killed people and, you know,
they had some key parties
or whatever the hell, like, you know.
Yeah.
It was an interesting attack. You know, what can you do to somebody who's unbreakable and somebody who's so physically dominant? How do you attack somebody like that, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I almost forgot who shows up towards the end of that one, but the Joker looks amazing in that one. Yeah.
With the, it almost looks like a like a surgical gown type thing or whatever.
Yeah, and I think he's that's the one where he's got the bullet hole scar in his head.
Right. The guy dressed up as Batman shot him point blank in the head or something stupid, right?
Yeah, that's what it was.
At the beginning of Batman and Son.
Yeah, that was like the first page almost. He gets shot in the face.
Yeah, and threw him in a dumpster or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's with
a weird angle too. With the three police trained Batman.
Right. Yeah, that did kind of get weird.
Yeah, and then he has the Heath Ledger, facial scars and whatnot. But that's, Dark Knight had just come out, so whatever.
Christ, but, that long ago?
Yeah, Black Glove, that's, bringing in, like Tyler said, it's sort of a hint at things to come in Batman Incorporated when he has, what do they call themselves again? A League of Heroes or something?
Club of Heroes or something like that.
Club of Heroes. See, that's cool. Most of those characters are from old school Batman stories where they just take a look at, what would happen if there was a Batman in England. And yeah, exactly. So that stuff's really cool. That's, again, Grant Morrison taking the old, weird, obscure stuff and making it canon and making it make sense.
Yeah, which, you can't really go wrong with that. That was some of the coolest stuff that you see, and in the end of all the trades, it's like Grant Morrison going, oh, hey, I pulled this guy out of here, and I found this guy over here, and hey, you remember when this guy was over here? And
yes.
That's some of the coolest part of the whole thing, is that he actually says where he found these characters. This guy was but this guy, I pulled him out of 1954, and, it's just, that was some of the coolest stuff. Because
he makes them real people, too. Like, the musketeer guy from France, he spent some time in prison because he accidentally killed one of his enemies, right. And then he sold the rights to his story to a movie, so he's rich now.
Yeah.
So
that was the movie The Black Glove, was it not?
Oh, yeah, actually, I think it was.
Where The Black Glove Strikes or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Right. Anyways, all the characters have, real person kind of backstories like that, which is cool.
Well, yeah, somebody who in 1959, for example, the Man of Bats, the Indian Batman, somebody who in 1959 was probably a complete one-off joke, they made him an interesting character with a compelling, sidekick and a story.
Sidekick,
and but
Batman on a budget.
Yeah, exactly. Batman on a budget. That's cool. When they come to him with Batman Inc. and he's like, we're gonna do it our way, but if you want to give us some cars, we'll take some cars.
Yeah, if you want to give us some cars or give us some money, then we can give it to the people in this area, but we'll do things our way.
Yeah. And that kind of just goes to show you what kind of people they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
The possibly my favorite thus far, and I guess since I'm almost done, it's going to maybe be my favorite in general. Trade/storyline, Batman RIP. It goes from 676 to 683. Mm-hmm. It is mostly Tony Daniel. It's got a little bit of Lee Garbett for Last Rites, which is the follow-up after Rip.
Right.
Oh,
David Finch as well, right?
Not according to this. It's all Tony Daniel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
The last issue.
David Finch is in Time and the Batman.
Oh, okay.
Around issue 700. And
no, I'm looking at the issues right now. Yeah, Tony Daniel does the whole thing.
Okay.
And I didn't even read Time and the Batman. I went right into Batman and Robin after RIP. RIP is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. They assume that Batman dies after what, like, Grant Morrison puts him through hell. All the Batman I've read since then, I can't think of somebody who's put Batman through worse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
and done this much to him that, he I don't even know how to explain it to
people,
burying
him alive,
man.
And then betting on whether or not he's going to live.
Well, yeah.
The other people who are there to watch, Batman get buried alive, they're saying, well, shouldn't you just kill him? He's gonna get out and come after us. And the Black Glove says, well, no, when he comes out, he's going to be deprived of oxygen. He's going to be brain dead, and we can do whatever we want with him.
Yeah.
Pretty sadistic.
Yeah, Dr. Hurt is pretty much what I would imagine Jeff Loeb thinks Hush is.
Probably. Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's nowhere near as good.
No.
So Batman RIP next. What precipitates the whole everybody thinks Batman's dead? Because I actually don't recall now.
You know what? All I remember that they found a body, but it was mostly like the cowl and stuff that they had in that little tomb, for lack of a better word.
Oh yeah,
right. But I
yes.
Even now, I can't recall how they figured he was dead. Like, what was the moment where they're like, oh yeah, he's dead. You know what I mean? I don't know. I can't recall now, Derek.
I think it's more at the end that everybody's under that.
But I don't know. I don't know if they really if he ever actually shows him, because obviously. Spoiler for people who haven't read this. He's obviously not dead, so I don't know if I can't recall if Grant Morrison even shows a panel where Batman dies. You know what I mean? It's not like Superman's not holding Supergirl and she's not dead and crying and Superman's crying, and you know, like, it's not super obvious.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's an off panel thing.
Yeah, I'm looking through these issues and I'm trying to figure out like exactly.
Well,
you know, where
if
dies.
Anything, it'll be 681 that he would die. That would be the last of Rip.
Okay, 681. Okay.
But you know, the bulk of the arc, though, regardless of, you know, what precipitates everybody thinking Batman's dead, the bulk of it is the whole Zur-En-Arr story.
Yeah, which is
so
insane.
It's insane. And do you know about the original Zur-En-Arr, Tyler?
Oh no, not if he pulled out of his ass some. The 50s, I have no idea.
Yeah, as far as I recall, it was the 50s, and there were two Batmans. One of them was from a different planet, and he was Zur-En-Arr, and he actually wore that crazy colored costume.
Purple, yellow, and red. Or whatever, yeah.
So then Grant Morrison said, okay, well, I'll take this other Batman, but instead of making it an alien, he's just going to be, you know, Batman's backup personality.
Well, there you go. Let's touch on that while Derek looks through 681.
All right.
Batman, in his mind, trained himself to have a second personality if somebody ever gets in his brain and messes around and tries to confuse him and tries to mind control him, basically.
Yeah, they cover all of his weird the experiments that he took part in with all the sensory deprivation and everything. So
yeah, and he trained himself to be able to pull out this Batman of Zen. What is it?
Zur-En-Arr.
There you go. He pulls this guy out of nowhere and he becomes him, which is it's essentially still Batman. He's still himself, but he's, for lack of a better term, he's batshit crazy.
He's Batman without Bruce Wayne.
Basically.
Yeah, there's no Bruce. It's just pure Batman in case he's ever mentally compromised. Then he just sort of goes into this backup copy that's pure Batman.
But I mean, the way that Morrison explains it, and the fact that, you know, Batman's got the wherewithal to, hey, I'm going to do this just in case. It might never, ever happen.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go in my old brain and I'm going to go, what's the craziest I can be and still be Batman? And let's do it, all right? Purple's a good color on me. Like, it's just crazy to see him flip like that. And he's, you know, beating up all these guys. He's beat up those three cops or whatever. And
yeah.
It's like no mercy Batman, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about the goofy colors and stuff. And Morrison even justifies that. You know, Batman says, well, Robin dressed like this for years. It's a sign of confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Because really, if you're dressing up in bright colors and shit like that, that's sort of inviting, hey, look at me, target me.
Yeah.
Okay, I see where he's Zur-En-Arr and he's beating the shit out of the Joker. And then what's-her-face drugs him or whatever? Jezebel drugs him. And then that's in 680. And then in 681, they show him he's buried. He's buried underground in a casket with a...
Oh, that's the one, okay.
Yeah.
And they're betting on him?
Yeah. And then he actually digs himself out of the grave, yeah.
Yeah, so
and that's, again, like Tyler was saying, you know, he prepares himself for all these crazy eventualities, and Grant Morrison details all that in the burial scene, too, talking about, you know, going through Batman's notes, and he's talking about, I prepare for all these wild death traps that even the craziest villains haven't thought up yet. You know, Batman's just prepared for anything.
It's pretty nutty that he was actually prepared for all of this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And he's talking about how he's like, oh, 10 times a day, I bury myself alive and I do this. And you know what I mean? Like just, you know, I don't know. I strap myself to a rocket and try to unstrap myself before it blows up. And like,
yeah,
everything. Like, where do you find the time, Batman? Like,
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's you know, most unbelievable about Batman is like his drive and just where the hell does he find this time?
Yeah, like he disappears for a week and you know, don't worry about Wayne Enterprises. It's fine. You know, I'm just going to go and try to dig myself out of this grave. And if I die, well, I'll ring this bell and Alfred will come save me.
Yeah.
There's something else that I thought was cool. Speaking of the bell and my little reference.
Yeah, I'm
there.
Glad you reminded me about that.
I had actually just before, or just, I think it was just before RIP, or maybe it was just after, I actually read Year One for the first time.
Oh, for the first time. Awesome.
Yeah, I was way behind and I just like, I was trying to find, the second Batman and Robin or something. And I picked this up instead.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting how Morrison is so fixated on that scene in Frank Miller's Year One, where Bruce is beaten up and he's bloody and he's hurt. And he's sitting in the chair with the little bell. And he's like, if I ring this bell, Alfred will come save me. And you know, I can just carry on my life. He's like, but I feel like there's something more. And then like the big bat smashes through the window and he sits on the bust of his dad or whatever, and Bruce Wayne's like, you know, that's it. That's the one. And then he rings the bell.
I will become a bat.
Yeah, and Morrison's used that like 3 or 4 times now. Like even in the most recent Batman Inc. that I've in between now, like he used that scene. You know, like it's just, I mean, obviously it's Frank Miller and the Year One became like the Batman beginnings. The new canon, I guess.
It's a perfect book, yeah.
Oh yeah, it is. It's fantastic. But it's just great that, you know, he's using it and he likes to reiterate himself and he makes sure you know what's going on. And I don't know. It's just interesting that he always goes back to that scene.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, you know, obviously that's where he becomes Batman, but Grant Morrison in an interview actually talked about that's the ultimate truth of Batman was realized when he rang the bell to call Alfred for help. Cause the ultimate truth of Batman is that he's never been alone. He always has help from people, including Alfred.
Yeah.
So the moment when he first asks for help is also the moment when he becomes Batman.
Yeah, that's really true.
Yeah, hence, you know, Batman Incorporated, right?
Yep.
Which in execution I'm actually not a fan of, but...
Which Incorporated, the original or the new 52?
I said the wrong thing. What I meant was in concept, I'm actually not a fan of there being a Batman Inc. like the, you know, all of these different Batmans and, you know, all these people to help him out. I actually think it takes away from the character. However,
That's fair.
Yeah. However, Grant Morrison made it, you know, very interesting. I'm not, you know, that's not necessarily taking anything away from his run at all.
Yeah, well, that's why we're here talking about it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he was trying something, you know, a little bit different, and that's, you know, and it worked, and that's awesome.
Well, I mean, you're getting it 600-700 issues of Batman. You got to try something different.
Well, yeah, of course, yeah. No, I don't. You know, I don't even necessarily have a problem with it. But when I first, you know, heard of it, I was like, oh god, this is going to be so stupid.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Well, okay, we'll touch on that in a minute here. I want to just talk about the first Batman and Robin, Batman Reborn. Which is 1-6, I think, where Dick Grayson takes up the cowl, and he's got to deal with this little dickhead Damian.
Yeah.
Oh, did we talk about Final Crisis enough?
I skipped it completely. I haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it either, Derek. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay.
It's on my to buy list. It's next.
I have it on Comixology because they had it real cheap. It was like $5 or something. But
okay. Well,
if you want to bring it up, go ahead.
Oh, well, really, for Batman, for like Grant Morrison purposes, the only thing that you really need to know is that Batman gets shot, you think he's dead, but really, Darkseid shoots him with some sort of Omega beam, which sends him back to the past.
Oh, that's when Batman really dies then.
Yeah, that's how he actually dies, and then in Morrison's Batman run, there was actually a few, like, you know, Final Crisis aftermath issues where you see everybody sort of like dealing with his death and how Alfred sort of like, you know, there's a really great like Alfred issue where he like cries and talks about, you know, like, you know, I've lost my son, and it was really powerful stuff.
I wonder if that's in Time in Batman or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's got 700 in it, and then it's also got RIP missing chapter, which is 701 and 702.
So 680. Wait, 680. The 686 is actually the Batman issue that I'm referring to with Alfred, and it was actually written by Neil Gaiman. I'm actually
oh,
not.
Wow.
I'm wrong. about that part. And then before that, there was a kind of a Catwoman issue with her, kind of like, you know, her dealing with things. That was 685, and that was written by Paul Dini.
Oh, geez.
So there's a bunch of stuff that we're missing in the aftermath.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure if they collected any of that stuff.
It does look like it. The collection looks like it jumps. It stops at 702 for Morrison's run, and then it goes into the Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Right after, we have, let's see. Yeah, right after RIP, we have 684 written by Denny O'Neill.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's Neil. Didn't he write with Neil Adams?
I believe so.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yes. And then there, and this is sort of a story sort of wrapping things up for Nightwing and Commissioner Gordon. And then, like I said, you know, the next issue is, next issue, Catwoman, Denny, and then, you know, 86 is the, you know, Gaiman one, which is the best, by far the best one.
Well, it's Gaiman, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah, I mean, it's
Oh, we lost you there, Derek.
Issues, like, starring Alfred.
There you go. When we get an Alfred series, all right? Come on, Snyder.
Pennyworth Comics.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
So, speaking of dealing with things, one thing that we didn't mention for RIP, and he was in Black Love 2, but RIP, Batmite, talking of taking weird things from back in the day Batman and sticking it in, making it make sense. So Batmite is basically, as far as I understand, he's a hallucination when Batman sort of lost it.
Now in Silver Age stories, he was like an actual like thing.
Yeah. In from the fifth dimension.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's just what I was going to bring up. Yeah. He was from the fifth dimension, and he was in, I don't know, him and Batman and Superman and Robin. And there was like a Superman equivalent of Batmite or whatever. They would just go on ridiculous, adventures that make absolutely no sense. or they would do asshole things like fake Jimmy Olsen's parents' death or something like that in order to teach him a lesson. This Silver Age, everybody.
Well, yeah,
you guys know way more than me.
Batmite's technically from the fifth dimension in RIP too, because what does he say? Batman asks him, are you really an imp from the fifth dimension, or are you my imagination?
Okay,
Batman
says,
the fifth dimension is imagination.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's sort of, Grant Morrison sort of, leaves it open. If you want him to be from the fifth dimension, he can be. And if you don't want him to be, so he kind of leaves it open, so you can just take it however you want.
Last point about Batmite. The creepy little demon thing that's always, holding him from behind. You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Go back and look at the panels with Batmite in Grant Morrison's Batrun. There's this weird little demon thing that holds him from behind. I think it's controlling him.
Like a shadow?
It's a weird little creepy demon thing. Yeah, that's all I can describe it as.
Hmm. I might have to go back and look at
that. That's interesting. I'd never noticed that before.
Oh, it's very weird. Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, go back and look at that.
Okay.
And Robin would be next.
You might have to snap a picture for the page, because I...
All right, I will. I will, because people, people are going to be questioning me, I'm sure.
Everybody will question you. It's just how they do it. It's you.
Okay.
Right. Yes, next one, Batman and Robin. my favorite, Batman and Robin, because Frank Quietly just kills it.
Definitely.
It's an absolute fucking shame that he only did three issues.
He only did three, eh?
According to this one, yeah. It was him three, Philip Tan did three... Cam Stewart did three, Andy Clark and Dustin Nguyen did two.
So largely it's just, a different artist for each arc, because they're quick little three issue
essentially,
arcs.
Essentially, yeah. And then we got the Fraser Irving stuff, which I thought was garbage.
Yeah, me too. I think we talked about this last time.
I'm glad we're all on the same page here.
But we're jumping ahead. This first Batman run was really important. It was because it's Dick Grayson who takes up the cowl unwillingly, really.
Yep.
He mentions that he made a promise to Bruce saying, if you ever die, you disappear, whatever, I promise I'll take the cowl and I'll keep it going. And not only does he have to take the cowl, but now he's got this little dickhead 10-year-old Damian who thinks he's the coolest guy in the world.
And he would make a way better Batman, right?
Yeah, who thinks Dick is a dick.
Yeah.
You know, and he's you should do it this way. Oh, well, my father does it this way. And you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it, not only, it's just this two big weights on his shoulder, really, you know? He's got to keep up the persona of Batman. He's got to train this kid. You know, it's just an interesting, it's an interesting look. Initially, I didn't think I was going to like it because I don't really like Dick Grayson. I don't really like his Nightwing stuff. Aww. I haven't read enough. I don't know. I never read the initial like over 100 issue Nightwing run. I haven't started the new 52 Nightwing stuff.
Oh, so, man.
I just don't know enough. But even as Robin, he was just this little wiener kid that just needed to shut up. And yeah, I don't know. I liked his look though. I will admit that.
Yeah, he's good in that one. He's good in that one.
Yeah, I like his look. You know what? He did do a pretty damn good job as Batman.
Well, yeah. I mean, the important part is when he's talking about, you know, I can't do this. It's too much responsibility and everything. It's too much pressure. And Alfred tells him, don't memorialize Batman. Just pretend to be Batman. It's a show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably the best advice that Alfred gave him the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have a friend lives in the same building as me, actually, who just read that one. He brought that up today. So I'm glad he did, because then I remembered it.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that, too. Yeah, that was a great, you know, that's some good advice there.
Are we all talked out on Batman and Robin already, boys?
No, I'm just trying to think of the other stuff that happens in the first one.
But... Yeah.
It's the intro of that, from what most people think, the terrible villain of Professor Pig.
Oh, Professor Pig's awesome.
I think he's awesome. I think he's a much-needed creepy villain.
The general consensus seems to be that he was not a very good villain and that he just put stupid doll masks on people. And, you know, yeah, he was creepy, but that was their first and longest-running villain for the Dick Grayson and Damian Batman and Robin duo.
See, I thought those were some great issues. And actually, they recently used him in the Beware the Batman cartoon.
Oh, they did, yeah.
You watched that?
The first few issues. Or
I watched the first
issues. I mean, episodes. Yeah. I watched the first few episodes, and then I kind of lost interest.
Yeah, the Alfred sucks, but let's not talk about that.
Yeah, definitely.
No, that's something else.
So Batman and Robin, though, I like the short, you know, 3-issue story arcs, the quick paced stories and everything. I thought it was a good change, switching the dynamic, where, you know, lighthearted Batman because it's Dick Grayson, Nightwing, Robin. With, you know, pissed off, angry little Robin because Damian is forever pissed off at the rest of the world. So I thought it was cool to get the dynamic switched like that.
It's cool you say that. I don't remember what issue or where I read it or whatever, but some issue, I almost want to say it's Batgirl that says it. But she says, I knew you were Batman the whole time. And he goes, why? Or how? And he goes, because you were smiling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Bruce Wayne has obviously got the scowl under the cowl.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that, yeah.
I want to say it's almost New 52, and it was a Gail Simone issue, and she was mentioning, oh yeah, when you were Batman, it was really obvious that it was you, because you were flipping and doing all that, and you were smiling the whole time. Like, you enjoyed yourself.
So this isn't a Nightwing issue that this is said?
I don't remember.
Again, I could be confusing it. I want to say it's in a Batgirl issue that Nightwing happens to be in.
Okay, either way, I haven't read it. That's cool, though. I like that.
I'm fairly certain it happened in the New 52.
Well, that's
shout-out to it.
I'm almost positive that it didn't happen in the New 52. But
when did it happen? When did it happen, then?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying almost. But I do vaguely remember something like that. Now, did you guys read any of the Batman Reborn issues?
No, I don't think. Oh, wait a minute.
Is that which one? Batman Reborn? Is that the that wasn't Morrison? So I didn't read it.
No, it was
by no, if it wasn't Morrison. I didn't.
Yeah, Judd Winnick and whatever. Okay, but just to touch on that real quick, there was actually like a 2 or 3 issue arc with Two-Face where he sees like security video footage of Dick Grayson being Batman, and he just looks at him and he's like, that's not Batman. I know that's not Batman. Like he just knows. Well, and so he actually goes even more insane and becomes like this like weird Two-Face Batman, like like to try to like balance things out. And he goes it's kind of cool. Judd Winnick wrote it. So, you know, it's good stuff.
It's kind of interesting. It's like the Joker, right? Mm. When the Joker appeared in the next trade, Batman versus Robin, when he was trying to be that fake English doctor or whatever the hell.
Oh, the Gravedigger guy.
Gravedigger, yeah.
Right? What did you think of that?
Oh, I don't know. It just struck me as crazy Joker stuff. He was tired of the black glove. He wanted his real bats back, and you know, he just tried to just do whatever. And it was interesting because I think he also said that, you know, there's no way you're my Batman.
Yes, he did. I thought that was awesome. I thought that was so cool. And you know, I really, really didn't see it coming the first time I read it.
No, I actually had no idea that was Joker. I honestly thought for a while that it might have been Bruce Wayne doing it because Bruce Wayne was gone. Yeah, and then I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense. And then Damian's like, I know that fighting style. He's like, he said something particular. And then I think shortly thereafter, they pulled out the mask and it was Joker.
Yeah, fucking crazy.
But I mean, it's just crazy stuff like that. Like, for the most part, comics are pretty damn predictable. I mean, let's call it what it is. You know, you can almost guess what's going to happen.
Especially within this genre.
Yeah, somebody's going to die, somebody's gonna come back, it's going to blah, blah, blah. But Morrison did a lot of stuff that I didn't see coming. I mean, maybe I wasn't paying enough attention, or maybe Morrison's too damn smart for me or whatever. But, you know,
Spider-Man's coming back? What?
Yeah, what? bro. Spider-Man never left, bro. He just did a really fantastic job and lots of twists and turns. Speaking of, you know, fantastic jobs, though, and his Batman and Robin first couple of trades that were really good, I really didn't like Batman Return of Bruce Wayne. For a number of reasons, it dragged. I thought it was too long. But in hindsight, after reading Batman Incorporated, I understand why it was a necessary evil.
This is the one that I'm always the most curious to hear people's opinions on.
I had a hard time getting through it. The first couple ones were really hard to get through. I actually put it down for like a couple of days because I wasn't into it.
That's disappointing. But you know, that seems to be the general opinion. You know, most people seem not to like that one.
Well, and for people that don't know, it's essentially Bruce Wayne through time from caveman times until the, I don't know, what'd you call it? The Crusades.
End of the universe, I guess.
Yeah, all the way up to the end of the universe where Bruce Wayne's getting, you know, bounced through time and he's doesn't really remember what's going on, but he's always a bat. He always becomes like a hero dressed as a bat.
Yeah, something always reminds him. You know, he sees a belt, like his utility belt or something.
And this is what spurred the idea of, you know, needing a Batman in every city. So, you know, in that sense, I liked it a little bit more after I read Incorporated.
Yeah.
But initially reading it, I don't know, it was the hardest one to read. It's not even that it was bad writing. I just didn't care.
Fair enough. You know what? I thought that one was amazing. I'm probably the only unless Derek agrees with me.
No,
I'm probably the only person that really likes it like that.
I completely agree with you. It was definitely more abstract than some of the other stuff.
It solidifies Batman as a mythology that, you know, echoes throughout history. I'm getting all, you know,
goosebumps
overly deep here, but it's true. That's kind of what it does.
Yeah.
No, when you put it that way, you know, you're right. It does do that. It does give a little more perspective into how Gotham has always had a quote unquote Batman. You know, that way, the way you're looking at it that way, yeah, you're right. It does do that.
And what else was I going to say about that?
I was just going to say that I do enjoy that Tim Drake sort of like brings him back from the, you know, from the brink, you know, so to speak, I guess. At the end.
Oh yeah, when he's got that weird black stuff all over him.
Oh
yeah.
the cyborg robot-y thing or whatever the hell that is.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah, see, that's another thing. Again, Grant Morrison going back, taking all the weird shit. You know, back in the day, like the 50s and stuff, there was, you know, a cowboy Batman story and a caveman Batman story and a Viking Batman story. So he sort of took that idea for Return of Bruce Wayne, doing Batman in all of those different time periods.
I want to read about Viking Batman.
No, I was just going to say that. That's like
there
right
was
up
a
your
Viking
alley.
Batman, dude.
That's totally up my alley. Yeah. If it wasn't written in the 50s, I'd be all over that.
Yeah.
The toys that at the time they were, well, they call themselves what? DC Collectibles now. But at the time, DC Direct made some really cool, Batman figures based on that. Based on that miniseries.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, they were badass.
See, the other cool thing is the Batcave that, you know, the Batcave has always been there, and it's always been the Batcave, because the Miyagani, or whatever they're called, the Bat people, were influenced by Batman showing up in prehistory, and they carried it all through time, guarding his utility belt and his cape and cowl.
Right, from the original ones, when he landed in the spaceship or whatever that was.
Yeah, see, I thought, you know what, that scene where the Bat people ask Bruce Wayne to come to the back of the cave, and they don't let the other guy through, and they're all standing in the cave around Bruce Wayne with sort of their heads bowed in reverence, and Bruce Wayne picks up the utility belt and his boots and stuff and says, "This is me, I know this." That was probably like the most powerful moment.
That was pretty good.
Caveman Vandal Savage.
Yes.
Oh, that was a cool thing too, that Vandal Savage was all the way through the thing, that he just kind of threw the character in, you know. I thought that was really interesting.
He is kind of through the whole thing, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty much the opposite Batman throughout the whole...
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, that was interesting. Another immortal guy. I guess Batman's not immortal, but the immortal guy in the DC universe that kind of goes through all time, so...
Yeah.
It was just interesting. It's surprising that, you know, Grant Morrison didn't do something in the present day with him, like, after the fact.
Yeah.
Even just like a one-off.
Yeah, true.
You know, because he was so present there, right? Well, you guys are quieting down pretty quick here.
We should probably shift over to Batman Incorporated.
Yeah, we should.
Okay, we're going to jumble everything. We're going to talk about Batman Incorporated as a whole. We're going to pretty much ignore that.
Sounds good.
We're going to pretty much ignore that the New 52 cut this up and broke it up. And the New 52 is a story for next week, quite frankly. So Batman Incorporated, as we kind of alluded to and talked about, was an idea from Bruce Wayne to fund Batman and Batmen of various cities around the world to fight crime. The idea was kind of sort of given to him or sparked in his brain from his adventures through time being Batman. I liked it. I liked the first one. I mean, I really liked Yannick Paquette, so that really helped. And Chris Burnham, I didn't really care for him so much at the beginning.
I think his work looks a lot like Frank Quitely's.
As soon as you said that, I liked his art more.
Well, okay, there you go.
You know, as soon as I kind of made that attachment, I was like, oh, okay. I mean, his Bruce Wayne kind of looks kind of funny.
I agree with you.
You know,
on
he's
that.
Like weird eyebrows or whatever, and he looks.
Yeah, his eyes
like
are big too.
Girly or something. See, I don't know how to explain
it. It felt like home to me because he worked on Grant Morrison's X-Men run.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I thought Burnham was relatively new.
Me too, yeah.
No, he did a lot of work on his the new X-Men book. Although this wasn't his fault though. This was like right after the movies, you know, so so they were all like in leather instead of the traditional, you know, superhero outfits. So it was a rough time, but it still felt good because I enjoyed that run. So it was nice to have them together again.
Yeah. But, Tyler, you think there's a big, not a big change in tone, but you feel there's a change in tone between pre New 52 and New 52 Batman Inc.?
Reading them back to back, because the Batman Incorporated pretty much ended with Cameron Stewart and Burnham already, and then Burnham starts the Volume 2 of Batman Incorporated with the New 52.
Yeah.
I don't really think the tone necessarily changes. I think Morrison spends the first two issues and the Zero issue telling everybody what they should have already read.
Yeah, okay. You know, he does. I forgot about that.
Because Zero issue is the first one in the first volume of the second volume. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You follow me?
Yes, yeah, it does.
Right? So,
yes.
Yep. Even I was kind of like, I'm just going to flip through some of these pages and just kind of look at the art because I already know because I just finished reading it, right?
Yeah.
So
Zero issue didn't come first, though.
No, I know. The Zero issue was like after like the sixth issue or something.
So, but in the trade, yes. It does, Derek. Yeah.
In the trade, they've lined it up as the first one. So, you know what I mean? And you understand.
Yeah, I know.
Had the Zero issue come out first and then they started with this, then maybe I would have been able to understand a little bit more. Because if I hadn't read it, it does explain it really well. It covers all like El Gaucho or whatever and the Knight and all that shit. It covers all that stuff.
Squire,
yeah. It covers that mostly. It's what the hell is his name? Frazier Irving's art though, so I didn't really like that so much.
Yeah, I don't like his art, man.
His art in X-Men. His art in X-Men and the Shade are awesome, but with this stuff, I thought it was garbage.
Yeah, I agree. Especially in Batman and Robin, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I couldn't even look at it. Like, his Damian looks stupid.
So for anybody who hasn't read Batman Incorporated, I think the first volume before the New 52 is more setting up Batman Incorporated and like getting everybody recruited and stuff.
Yeah, it does kind of go through that. It goes through a couple of the bad guys. They reference stuff that happens in that trade, as well as the Batman Leviathan Strikes, which is in one shot. That's at the end of the trade.
Which is awesome, yeah.
So I think if somebody hasn't read any Grant Morrison, but they don't want to go back and read the whole thing because they're stupid or whatever, which means, people, you need to go back and read the whole thing. But if you don't, or you can't, or whatever, start with the Incorporated pre-New 52 and then go into the new stuff. You kind of get an idea of what's going on. I don't know if it'll have the same weight that it would be, you know.
I agree.
I'm going to read it. Because I tried the New 52 stuff, as I said, and I didn't understand what was going on because I had read no Morrison Batman, and I think I dropped it like issue 3. No idea what's going on.
If you know what's going on, it's amazing.
So oh, yeah. Go back and read it. Hey, I remember that from this issue, and all this happened, you know, pre-rip in this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like trying to get into like Game of Thrones, like in like season 3. It's just not going to work. It doesn't have the same weight.
Yeah, because all the Leviathan stuff, they take a long time really building that up and making it like this crazy global conspiracy that.
Well, pretty much that whole trade of Batman Incorporated is just showing the scale that they're on.
Yeah.
Right, and I mean, how crazy it gets with Doctor. What the hell's his name? The Nets guy.
The Nets guy?
The German guy. Oh, you guys are screwing me now.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He's got the smoke cape, and he's the old man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and those weird dome things over his eyes.
Yeah. He had, it was Dr. Something, but his name was something Nets.
Nets, well, yeah, you're right. That's hence, you know, the web for...
Yeah, with the web and the eye and stuff, right?
Yeah, now I remember.
Spiral, that was his organization.
Yeah,
yes.
And El Gaucho was part of that or something.
Yeah,
So, but without reading that, you're not really gonna understand the relationships in the New 52 stuff. Like, I mean, I understand Morrison's like, I just want to finish it. You know, whatever. If I have to start number one, I will. But that was a really unfortunate break in his story to have to start over like that.
Yeah. Actually, the New 52 Batman Inc. actually doesn't do as much for me. For whatever reason, it just didn't have the same power with me.
The first volume in the New 52, that was my favorite out of all the incorporated books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That might...
It feels dumbed down to me. And I'm about... I think I've read 0, 1, 2, and partway through 3, I think.
Okay.
And it feels like he's spending too much time telling you what you should have already read.
Yes.
Had you been paying attention, you know what I mean? Like, if New 52 never happened, we would have had 13 issues of him just going balls out. But he had to spend X amount of issues trying to get readers to understand what's going on and therefore buy into the issue so that he can continue and finish his run.
Did you get to the stuff where Bruce Wayne is going online and spreading misinformation?
Yeah, I think I just started that, where he's on a web chat or something, or he's on a forum.
And he's on a forum.
Batman is Bruce Wayne, or whatever the hell.
Yeah, Damien's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
He's got all the different screen names, and one of them saying, well, everybody knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman, and another person saying, well, everybody knows that Batman is more than one person. It's impossible that it was one.
Bruce
and he's
Wayne
saying
died
all this
4 years
different
ago.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, you know, because I think in Frank Miller's Year One, they're already suspecting that Bruce Wayne is Batman, right?
Yeah, it happens pretty quick. He's new at it, so he doesn't know what's going on. Even if you watch the movie edition they did of that, Gordon is like onto him almost right away.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, it's sort of logical that if they can suspect it back then, and then all of a sudden Bruce Wayne comes out and says, hey, everybody, I've been funding Batman's war on crime, well, then it's the obvious conclusion, well, Bruce Wayne could be Batman.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's just a cool real-world way to combat that.
Yeah, it definitely was. It struck me as odd, too. I'm like, why would he just go out and say that? Like, that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I think...
I think it's sort of like almost like a hiding in plain sight kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't even say it's misdirection, like, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, right on the same page. You know, I'll say it here. This other guy will say it's not. Who knows, right? Are you going to trust the word of this one random guy in a forum, or, you know...
Yeah, it's just kind of like throwing it out there to sort of like, I don't know, just to almost discredit it.
Yeah, pretty much. Let everybody talk about it for a week, and then they'll get bored of it and go on something else.
Yes.
Yeah, so. One more thing that I'll mention since we're, you know, we got to wrap up soon, but Derek and I were talking about this before we started recording, and there's one particular panel, I think it's in the last volume of Batman Incorporated, and, you know, they're referring to Talia al Ghul as the Red Queen throughout the book and everything. And I can't remember who's playing chess. It's maybe it's Ra's al Ghul or someone. And there's just one panel, a close-up shot of the Dark Knight taking out the Red Queen on the chessboard. So that kind of stuff is really cool in the book, too. It's not just the awesome storytelling. I mean, the artwork, there's a lot of depth.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Morrison, for the most part, had some great artists on his run. It's I don't know. It's definitely a highly recommended Batman run. If you like Batman, you should be reading this. This is something that should be affecting Snyder's run, for Christ's sake, like the stuff that he's been through, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
As much as Frank Miller should be affecting his 0 year, or whatever the hell he's calling it.
Yeah, what I forget about that.
I know, that's a different story. But, you know, it's stuff that should be rippling through time, figuratively and literally.
Yep.
You know,
it's the essence of Batman sort of distilled into one run. It's got everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, after almost reading it, I still got the rest of the first Batman Inc. And then the last one once it comes out in paperback. But for the most part, I would say prior to reading this, there's like a hole in my bat life. You know, this is something I needed to read because it gives you depth and character. And, you know, I like Damian a little bit more. I hated that little punk bitch when I read him first.
I really like Damian, yeah.
I don't say I like him. I don't like him. I said I like him a little bit more.
Yeah, well, that's still good.
he's a fantastic example of, like, character growth.
I agree.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, from when you first see him, when he's standing next to his mom, until, you know, dreaded issue 8.
Yeah, tell me which one is your father. They're looking on the security cameras.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's the scene. Oh, and he goes, that's him, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, can I just say real quick, I think they sort of like blew it with that issue 8 where Damian dies, spoiler alert. It's because DC put out a press release like 2 weeks before that issue even came out. So
make people buy it.
Well, yeah, because you know, as Tyler and I have discussed, of course, it's going to be worth like $40 million in 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus. I don't know about that much, but you really think it's going to go up a lot, that one?
No, God, no.
Did you not listen to the last podcast? We were in the middle of talking about Downslot and Spider-Man, and we went on that huge tangent about how people are fucking idiots because they think it's going to be worth $200,000 down the line and they're going to pay for their kids
exactly.
College.
It only happened with Walking Dead, people. Give it a rest.
Yeah. You're lucky that it happened with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something like that. That's just so rare, and you never know what it's going to be.
I know. I mean, I actually happen to own 2 issues of that, but one of them was supposed to go to a former colleague, and I never ended up doing it. So if somebody wants an issue of number 8, I'll sell it to you for cover price and shipping.
Maybe I'll buy that.
You don't have it?
No, I don't have any of the singles from it.
Oh man.
Just pay for shipping and it's yours.
All right.
But Derek's not done. Fine.
Okay, I'm not done. I am not. Okay, all right. No, the very end of not the very end. I guess it was like that special, but that doesn't count. Anyway, that final issue, what was that? 13? Issue 13? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Anyway, there's at the end, they sort of like set things up for Damian to return.
Yes.
There's just that scene with Ra's al Ghul being a bad guy, like, you know, and then he comes, he goes into that like room, and there's all those like giant like tanks with like babies that look like Damian in them. Yeah. So they're sort
of Damian babies. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sort of, you know, he says something evil and ominous, and you know, so it's just setting up a possible return. And I guess it's already been confirmed that I guess this summer there's, I don't know, something going on where he's going to come back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is it going to be Morrison at least?
I believe not. I do not think it's going to be Morrison. Actually, I can almost guarantee you it's probably
He's got no plans to do any more Batman for the foreseeable future. He's told his story now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just dragging it out then. Why don't you let a goddamn character stay dead for a while.
Although yeah. I gotta say, Damien, Son of Batman is pretty good. I mean, Andy Kubert's not an awesome writer, but it's pretty good.
I'm actually not a fan of the story, but the art's pretty cool, and yeah. it does like just enough for me where I'm like, yeah, all right, that's pretty crazy. I want to know what happens next.
Yeah, me too. Okay, yeah, I feel about the same then.
Well, folks, we are in overtime. We're over our hour limit because we just can't start talking about Batman. Unfortunately, I think I'm going to cut these guys off. I'm pretty sure we could talk for another hour about Batman and Grant Morrison. They could tell you stories of drugs and acid trips and crazy things about Morrison that Morrison's forgotten.
We'll have to do a Morrison podcast.
I thought this was a Morrison podcast, Joey.
Oh, and all Morrison, you know, not just
well,
Batman.
If we're going to do that, we better try to get him on the show.
Yeah, I would like to just I would like to talk to Joey for about like at least a half an hour on just like his Action Comics run.
Well, if people take this issue or this episode like they've taken the other ones, we just might do that. Maybe we'll have a special Joey and Derek hour or half hour of Grant Morrison. Grant Morrison's super crazy happy fun time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's it though, boys and girls, right. And in-betweeners and aliens and mutants and everybody in between. Batman is alive and well. The New 52, not so much. I want to thank all the listeners. I want to thank everybody that's listened thus far, and hopefully that will continue to listen in the future. If you guys like this issue, if you hated this issue, comment, send us an email, allcomic@outlook.com. Really, really easy. We're on Twitter, @allcomic_, because I had to have that super underscore in there. Don't ask me why. It's been a great show. Derek's over there.
Goodbye, everybody.
Joey's over there.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
See, it's almost like we're in the same room pointing at each other, isn't it? the magic of the internet, boys and girls.
The interwebs.
The interwebs. Until next time, read comics any way you can.